Welcome to the Progressing Recruiters Lives Everywhere podcast, brought to you by Amoria Bond. Join us as we talk to our board members and leaders to gain valuable tips, advice, and inspiration for your own professional life. From climbing the career ladder to the evolution of the recruitment industry, we'll cover it all. Within our industry, there are no limits to how far you can progress, and we want to show you how and why working in recruitment could be the best decision for your life and career. I'm Jenny Walsh, Regional Talent Attraction Manager based in Amoria Bond's Manchester office. In this episode, I'm talking to one of our Managing Directors, Ian Cross. Hi Ian, welcome. Great to have you with us today.
Thanks Jenny. Yeah, nice to be here.
Cool. So I guess could you kick us off, Ian, by telling us a little bit about your background and how you got into recruitment?
I think like most people, I fell into recruitment. So I've been at Amoria Bond for, that's my 16th year this year. So I joined back in 2007 as a trainee, and Amoria Bond then was a startup, been going about six months, and we're at 4 or 5 employees. Prior to that, I was in the motor trade. So I'd been in the motor trade from leaving school. I left school way back when. So I was in the motor trade at Toyota for 15 years. So do the math. You'll know how old I am. And I left school. I did a YTS within Toyota, as an accounts clerk of all things. Hated it. Wasn't very good with numbers, realised that. But quickly moved on into a sales capacity, and there was a trainee salesperson. And then, yeah, over the years, I moved into different positions, sales, fleet sales, business manager. I guess around about the time 2007, I got to a bit of a crossroads in my life. I'd been in that job 15 years. It was my only job from leaving school. I knew there was other things out there in the world, and I got introduced to recruitment through Nick, who's one of the founders of the business. And I guess I had the choice: do I stay in the cozy, comfortable space I was in and carry on that career, or do I take the plunge and join a startup at that time in a career I knew not very much about. I knew I had a background in sales. However, I met Nick, Gareth and Dan, and they sold me the dream. And the rest is history, so to speak. And here I am now. And, you know, I think it's fair to say it was a very difficult first few months. I was obviously looking at myself in the mirror quite a few times, wondering what the hell have you done? You know, you were in this cozy, comfortable space, and really put myself out there and really challenged myself. But yeah, to be fair, I've never looked back since.
You said that they sold you the dream. What was it, I guess, about that dream that particularly attracted you?
I think at the time, you know, I was. Still young, I still felt like I had a lot more to achieve in my life. I had a very good job where I worked, but I guess knowing, and I knew Nick personally, so I knew from him the kind of things that you could achieve in recruitment, the opportunities it opened up. And for me, it was the progression, really. You know, I felt that within a short period to a 10-year span, I could go from being a trainee to, a senior director within a business. I got the opportunity to move overseas, was something they were talking about at the time. Personally, there was a lot of financial gain. There was a lot of fun, the culture, the environment that they were talking about at this time, because bearing in mind, it was in its infancy, the business, but having been in a very successful business beforehand, you know, the guys knew the model that they wanted to create. It was all about progression. It was all about development. And it was about developing talent as opposed to bringing talent in. And I guess that's what appealed to me at the time.
Yeah. Okay. Brilliant. And you also mentioned that, you know, you had quite a challenging few months and you were, you know, having a look at yourself and having to think about it. We often talk about the recruitment roller coaster. So I guess, could you tell us a little bit more about some of the challenges that you faced in your career and that recruitment roller coaster and you know, how you've overcome that?
I think being a startup obviously had its own challenges. You know, everything needed creating. Nobody knew who Emoria Bond were at the time. I'd not done recruitment. There was a lot of other new trainees at the time. So that in itself had challenges, the pressure with that. But then for me, learning new skills at maybe an age in my career where I was quite used to working a particular way, just meant getting used to the resilience, I guess, of a lot of rejection. Cold calling was something I wasn't used to doing. I'd come from the motor trade where clients came to us to buy a car. It was our job to service them. And this was us going out into the market to offer a service. So it's very different. And I guess within the first month or two, because I had no success and I was valuing success as doing a deal. When I was in the motor trade, doing a deal was 2, 3, 4 times a day. You might sell a car. So going from 4 successes a day to, you know, no success over 3 months was a challenge upon itself. But, you know, then it's about reframing and going, well, what's success now? It's not doing a deal. It's maybe having a positive conversation or gaining someone's email address or someone, you know, acknowledging that they're the right person to speak to. And I think from that quickly snowballed, and then I got, you know, an account under my belt and started to then do deals and then started to feel the success and feel like I was growing in myself. So I guess, you know, the challenges along the way, they've been many. And I think in that certainly in that first year or two, it was, you know, joining a startup. It was learning a new trade, you know, learning how to type on a keyboard. It's bizarre, but it was a skill I didn't have, you know, 15 years ago, because I never needed that in the motor trade. It was quite paper-based. Moving country. You know, I moved to Amsterdam within 12 months of joining an Emoria Bond. So not only was it a new start, then we moved to another country and then started again in a new city with different culture and different dynamics. And then, you know, 12, 18 months later, we opened up another office in Cologne. So again, it was just challenge after challenge, and it was just about really pushing the boundaries of yourself and embracing every experience, really, and recognizing that, you know, the pain of the first time of doing something will quickly pass once it's practiced, whether it's a new skill or whether it's, you know, moving into a different city or learning a new culture. You know, it eventually becomes comfortable, and when it becomes comfortable, then you get more confident in it, in yourself.
Brilliant. And you also mentioned at the beginning that one of the things that attracted you was the progression aspect of it and being able to work your way up to a senior director. And obviously, as someone who started as a trainee, you're an amazing example of that. So what would you say are the most important skills that you need to climb the career ladder quickly and successfully?
Look, I think, as I said, I wasn't blessed with recruitment skills when I joined. I did find it hard to deal with rejection. And I think what I did was I needed to find out a way to deal with rejection. And for me, that was just get really good at what I was doing and learn to fail fast. So I learned to fail fast. I just practiced and practiced and practiced, because the more confident and comfortable I got with a scenario, whether that's how to pitch a client or how to pitch a candidate or how to, you know, open up a conversation. If I knew the things I wanted to say and I knew the objections that were going to potentially come my way and I knew how to handle those objections, then I felt more in control. And then the fear of rejection, you know, dissipated. And as a consequence, I was able to become more successful. And I think it was just that, you know, practice at being better and not fearful of anything, really, because this, you say practice makes perfect, but it's practice makes progress nowadays, isn't it? So yeah, practice makes progress.
Yeah, no, brilliant. And it sounds like obviously pushing yourself out of your comfort zone as well is like a key point there as well.
I think you've got to be comfortable being uncomfortable. And you know, I had a meeting only last week where I was made to feel quite uncomfortable. But the reality was, it was me moving into another space, putting myself into an area where I'm probably not as confident as I'd like to be. But I know that within the next 2 or 3 times I have to do that, I'll be all right. And I think that's, you know, it's what I say to any of the trainees that I work with, which is just do it. Go, you know, make a mistake, get it wrong, because getting it wrong is the pathway to getting it right. It's when you constantly, you know, get it wrong, but don't learn from, you know, the mistakes you've made, or don't, you know, don't analyze why you got it wrong and then try to make some slight improvements. That's when it becomes more difficult, because then you don't feel like you're progressing, because you're holding yourself back.
No, great pieces of advice there. Thinking about leadership, what would you say has been your proudest moment as a leader so far?
I don't think I've got a proudest moment. You know, I think with the role that I do, I get to go into the different offices quite often. So 1 week I might be in Manchester, another week Cologne and Amsterdam on a more regular basis. And I think going in those offices and seeing how, you know, I remember when we were there were six of us in a space no bigger than this here. And now going in those offices, you know, and the 1,000 square meter offices, and, you know, there's 60, 70 people in there, all at different stages of the career. You know, some people in the first day, some people have been there far too long, you know, 15 years, you see them every day. And just that state of growth and the development, I think that's one thing. I think when I get the opportunity to be in one of the offices on a Friday when they do the celebratory red carpet, I was in Amsterdam, I think it was just before Christmas, actually. It was the last Friday I was there, and there was a lot of trainees that had done the first deal, and, you know, seeing that walk and ringing the bell for that first deal. You see what I forget what it means to do that, because it was such a long time ago, but you see it on people's face. That, you know, that's a proud moment. But I think if I was to go, well, what's the most proud would be, I guess it's not the people that I work with, but the guys that work in the senior management team that I've worked with for a long time. You know, they joined the business as trainees. I hired most of them, you know, some of them 12, 13 years ago. And seeing them do their journey and you know, recognising the challenges that they're facing and how they're growing and going through it, and seeing their face when they see their people win an award, that's quite rewarding, because it's kind of, you know, it's full circle. It's you've seen them as trainees, and now you've seen them as leaders, and you're seeing what they're enjoying about the job, which is also what I enjoy about the job, seeing the trainees come in. So yeah, not one thing, but many.
I imagine there's probably been lots and lots of things along the way in the journey.
Oh yeah, there's definitely a lot, but they're, you know, they're the things. I know it's a bit of a cliche, but it is definitely seeing people progress. And you know, people buying the first house or buying the first car or being able to go on the first, you know, luxury holiday or, you know, whatever it might be. And it's just great to see that people are pushing, because I know what it takes to do that. It's not like it's a given. You don't walk in and you've got this skill of recruitment. You've got to work damn hard at it. You've got to work really hard at it, you know, and it doesn't come easy. So when you see people get the success, walk the red carpet, do a hat-trick deal, whatever it might be, get a promotion, you know they've really achieved something.
Yeah, and that's the beauty as well of the organic progression within our business, because obviously you've been there, you've been that trainee, and you know what that feels like, and you've worked your way up as well. So it's really super valuable that you can offer those experiences as well as getting to see it and appreciate it.
I don't... You know, a lot of people that will know me, but there's a lot of people that won't know me and won't know this story. You'll think, oh, he's always been the boss. Well, you know, I wasn't. I was a trainee. I was fumbling around on keyboards, you know, tripping over my words, making calls, and, you know, feeling embarrassed that I've made a right mess of that, and, you know, feeling like I'm not very good at the job. But, you know, I guess for me, it's just control what you can control and do the things that you can do that are going to help you move over that hurdle, whatever it might be.
Brilliant. And that kind of crosses over to my final question, which is what, I guess, would be some other pieces or biggest piece of advice that you'd give for those who are looking to start a career in recruitment?
Well, what I was just probably, you know, starting to talk about then, which is, you know, control what you can. You can't control everything. You can't control what someone will say or what someone will do. But what you can do is control how you approach that. You can control how you feel. You can control what emotion you feel. You can control, you know, how you're going to view the day. If you're not very good at something, you can control that eventually. You know, you might not be good at it then, but if you want to get better, that's in your control. You can go out, you can do some research, you can do some extra training. You know, personally, you know, I had a scenario where I was very successful very quickly, but because of that, I didn't learn a lot of the development areas that I should have done, because I'd kind of gone from trainee to biller very quick. And then I lost a client. And when I lost this client, I had to go back to doing business development. I could hear myself in the corner, like whispering into the phone, because I was so bad at it, because I'd not practiced it. And I went, I don't like this. So I literally went out and I wrote every single pitch out that I could think of. I wrote it all out, I typed it all up, I laminated them, I had them on my desk. I controlled the scenario. I went, right, if I'm going to make that call, if the pitch is there, if I need to rely on something, it's there. It's my fail safe. And I think, you know, that goes to everything. You can choose whether you press snooze or you get up. You know, you can choose whether you go to the bar with the team for a drink or you stay a bit later to work that job for the client because the client's got a demand. And, you know, if you can be first or last, you've got a better chance of filling it. So for me, it's just that, you know, you can grow thick skin and grow more resilient by controlling what's around you and developing yourself to be better. And, you know, and I think that trumps everything. You know, everyone can work hard, everyone can be smart, but not everyone can control their emotions and not everyone can control how they develop themselves. So yeah, for me, that would be number one.
Excellent. Thank you very much for sharing that with us, Ian. That's a wrap for today's episode. So yeah, thanks for taking the time out to join us and share your valuable insights and advice.
Thanks, Jenny.
And if you're looking to start a career in recruitment or want to learn more about the industry, then be sure to check out amoriabond.com. Thanks very much for tuning in.